Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we continue making our way through the book of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 62 with a message titled Israel's Marriage. So stay tuned, and those of you that have a Bible, get it ready so that you can follow along with us. If you follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along as well. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord, Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to dive back into Isaiah. Lord, we're learning so much, and we're hopefully connecting to you. And so I pray, Lord, your blessing upon everybody who's tuned in, so they too, Lord, can connect to you and we can learn about you and your great promises for the future. In your precious and wonderful name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth to Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of Israel's marriage. Stay tuned for our program. And of course, before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another wonderful opportunity.
It is, man. We are moving along in Isaiah. Just think, we're only got four chapters after this and we'll be done. You and I are going to have to start planning what we're tackling next. And maybe, folks, if you tuned in and you want to click that contact button at christinprophecy.org, if you have some suggestions on some things you want to learn, then please do go ahead and click that contact or contact me at webminister@lamblion.com. Vic will give you the phone number. And if you have some suggestions, we'd love to hear them.
Nathan, I love that. Yeah, they can always contact us or text us as well at 305-992-9537. We would love to hear from our listening audience. And also, right, Nathan, we love to hear from them anyway, just a message or an email or letting us know that they're catching up programs and where they're tuned in from. It's always fun to hear from them.
It is. It is. It's just very touching to know that there's people out there who are growing in the Lord along with us as we go through this journey. So again, we thank you all for tuning in.
Awesome. And Nate, maybe someone is new and they don't know how to get a hold of our resources. Might you be able to share that with them?
Absolutely. Well, if you're not familiar with our ministry, Lamb and Lion Ministries is a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. We are passionate about the Lord's return, where we're proclaiming it on the airwaves. You can see us on Christ and Prophecy Television, also on Christ and Prophecy Radio. We have our Lamplighter Magazine, the podcast here, The Truth Will Set You Free, all the social media, and an e-newsletter that goes out every other week. You can contact us, again, through christinprophecy.org or download our Lamb and Lion app.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I want to encourage you, take advantage of those amazing resources. And this way you can follow along with us throughout the entire book of Isaiah. Nate, so we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 62. What another beautiful, beautiful passage as we're sort of shifting gears now from part of the gloom and doom to more of a wonderful relationship type passage. And it's very encouraging, Nate, as we talk about relationships, weddings, those are festivities, fun things, and God's plan for the nation of Israel, his relationship with his people, is almost just like of a husband and a wife relationship that we find in the home.
Yeah. And God makes that comparison. He talks about Israel being like a bride to him and the church being like a bride to Jesus Christ. Again, there's other analogies. He talks about his virgin daughter, Israel. So we're not talking about real marriages here, but deep relationships, intimate relationships, not sexually, but spiritually and personally and emotionally. That's what the Lord wants. That's why he created humanity. We were made to fellowship with God forever, and the sin broke that fellowship. So all of human history is getting us back through the plan of redemption that he has through his son, Jesus Christ, to bring us to salvation so that that relationship is restored and that right relationship is back to the Garden of Eden again. And so, yeah, it's wonderful that the God of the universe would love us so much that he wants to fellowship with us forever because we are his creations. And that's, when you stop and think about it, Vic, that's just mind-blowing.
Oh, Nathan, it is. And just so many other beautiful things that we're going to point out here in Isaiah chapter 62 pertaining to relationship and also pertaining to God's relationship and his love for his people, Israel. So looking at Isaiah chapter 62, Nate, will you be able to open us up there reading 62 verses 1 and 3, and I'll do 4 and 6 in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Okay, chapter 62, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the New King James. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. And you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
Verse 4, you shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah. Hope I said that right. And your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I have set a watchman on your wall, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Nate, what a wonderful opening. What a beautiful passage.
Yes, it's the promise of the redemption of the people of Israel. Now, the church has tried to steal this promise and say this is a prophecy for the church, but it is not a prophecy for the church. Otherwise, why would it make a comparison with the Gentiles looking at the Jewish people and saying, hey, God is with them? Now, we got to remember that Isaiah, throughout his book, this is about 700 BC, and there's the Lord is calling the Jewish people back to him. They're very resistant. We know eventually in the 100 and some years they're going to be exiled from their land because of their continued rebellion. But the Lord would call a remnant back and they go into exile again. But then, as we've been reading through Isaiah, he will call all the Jewish people back. As Isaiah 11:11 says, a second time back to the land. He's going to restore them. So, as we read in verse 4, the land won't be desolate anymore. So, that's Shemaimah, if I'm pronouncing that right. And then it'll also be called Hephzibah, which means my delight is in her. And we also saw Beulah, which means married. So, in other words, we know that when we get as saved church members, so to speak, the church go to heaven, the Lord promises that we will get a new name. He will go by Yahweh Tsidkenu. The city of Jerusalem we called Yahweh Shema during his kingdom. But we learn here that the Jewish people will also get a new name. I guess we won't call them Jews anymore or Israelis anymore. They will be considered a blessed people in Christ's kingdom.
Nathan, and I love that. I mean, I don't mind my name. I'm glad that you're keeping your name. At least we get to know it. Don't change your name, by the way, anytime soon, you know? But the
I
wonderful
don't
thing
think we
is
have a
that
choice when we get to
the wonderful thing is that God promises so many wonderful things, including new names. And names have meanings, but I think if God also gives us a new name, it will have even deeper meaning for the relationship that he has with Israel and with us as well. And yes, Nathan, you're right. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13 to the Church of Philadelphia, that's one of those wonderful promises of a new name. And it says in Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I just love that newness, Nate. New name, New Jerusalem, new us in Christ.
Absolutely. We see in the book of Revelation as well, there's an angel that goes out, and we call him in our book, the Mighty Angels of Revelation, the branding angel, because he brands the 144 Jewish evangel of 1,000 Jewish evangelists with the name of the Lord on him. And so we find that in eternity that we will get new names, but the name of the Lord will be imprinted upon us too. Now, whether it's visible or readable or a mark or maybe it's a cross or we don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but it kind of is reminiscent to right now. Toy Story 5 is out, right? And I haven't seen the movie yet. I know you have, Vic, but we remember in the early years when the toys were owned by Andy, Andy would put his name on their feet. So when they, like Buzz Lightyear lifts up his boot and says Andy on it, it means he's Andy's toys. Well, likewise, and throughout eternity, we will be, sons of God or daughters of God. His name will be on us. We will, yes, he is ours and we are his. And so we will have the name of the Lord imprinted on us as well.
I love that analogy, Nate. That is so cool. And it's just nice to know that there's ownership, that we have belonging, that we belong to someone. And that's why this relationship, much like in marriage, right, Nate? When we get married, we give a bride a beautiful ring, right? And in return, she puts that ring also in our finger, showing how we belong to one another. So if you're out there and you feel like nobody cares, like nobody has any value in you, well, know that God does value you. And if you come to Christ, he will put the wonderful ring on your finger and you will be part of that wonderful service. So Nate, it's just beautiful, this passage.
Yes, that's a great analogy. It's true. I mean, I'm looking at my wedding ring now. It lets people know that I belong to somebody and she belongs to me. And it's not, we're not talking slavery here. We're talking about a chosen covenantal relationship. And that's what the Lord is talking about here. He's had made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's going to fulfill that covenant, whether the Jewish people or now the church are obedient or not. He is faithful always, even if we are not. And so he's promising them that there will be a remnant that will be faithful to him, and they will be elevated amongst the esteem of the peoples of the world. It says there's verses that talk about 10 men in Zephaniah, I believe it's 2:8, will grab the sleeve of a Jewish man and say, "Hey, we hear that God is with you, And it says that kings will be your foster mothers and kings your fathers. In other words, I'm misquoting it there, but in other words, the esteem of the leaders of the world during the millennial kingdom will look to the Jewish priesthood that saved and say, yes, they are a special anointed people, and they suffered so much for God's name, and so they will hold a special place during the millennial kingdom.
That is so cool. And Nate, I just love verse 4. Verse 4 again just shows how God's plan is in full effect for the land and the people of Israel. God has not forsaken them, God has not replaced them. God truly cares for his people. Verse 4 in Isaiah 62 says, "You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be terminated desolate." Nate, you would agree, right? That in the past, what, maybe 50 years, we've seen Israel blossom like never before, from a desolate place to this place filled with life and excitement.
Yeah, we bring up this example a lot, but a wonderful book you ever have a chance to read it was by Mark Twain in the 1860s called The Innocents Abroad. And it's about him going on. It's funny, I never thought of people going on cruises as far back as the Civil War, but that's what he does. He goes on a cruise all throughout the Mediterranean, and his book is dedicated to that entire trip. But a portion of that trip, he goes to the Holy Land. And he is absolutely shocked. He said they went for 3 days without ever crossing another person. Whatever people are there look windblown and sick, tiny little houses, lots of poverty. The Ottoman Empire just let all of Israel go to seed. It was a complete desolate wasteland. Yet the Bible prophesied that would be the case, and that when the Jewish people started coming back, which they did in the late 1800s, and rebuilding the land and buying it back, and finally Resolution 181 of the United Nations in 1947 gave them the right to create a nation, which they did on May 14th, 1948. And now you're right, Vic, when you go to Israel, it's just shocking the amount of agriculture. It's become the breadbasket of the Middle East. That's why all the Muslim nations want it so badly. They are jealous of all the production that the Jewish people have done by taking a dead land and making it alive again. But it fulfills prophecy, because there are so many prophecies that prophesied that the Lord would turn the land desolate, but in the end times, he'd bring it back to bounty.
Oh, Nathan, and it's God's blessing upon those people, giving them this ingenuity to be able to rebuild the land and construct things in amazing ways. Some of the most amazing inventions in our century are coming out of this little tiny place called Israel. I think also the Intel chip and so many other things came out of this little land. And it's just wild the way that the Holy Spirit is pouring out his wisdom for this nation to fulfill Bible prophecy.
Yeah, and that's right. Verse 5, I love it. It says, "For a young man marries a virgin, and so shall your sons marry you, as the bridegroom rejoices at the bride." There again, we get that more wedding analogy. In other words, a wedding celebration, one of the ha supposed to be the happiest times in people's lives. So shall your God rejoice over you. You know, after many, many chapters in Isaiah of the Lord being upset with Israel because of their continued rebellion, defiance, and sin, to know that in the end they will be redeemed and that there will be a people who calls upon the Lord as Savior and God will rejoice over them. What a transformation. You know, the Jewish people, folks, when you look at them in their entirety of all their 4,000 or so years of history, is because it's a example of what we individually go through, being in rebellion against God, God sacrificing himself for us, and then bringing us to salvation, correcting our relationship, and then the blessings of that relationship. And so you got to look at Israel almost as a object lesson, a 4,000-year long object lesson, as the Lord is bringing salvation to the Jewish people. This is how he brings salvation to each and every one of us.
Oh, Nathan, and that's why the scriptures are just so neat, how God puts together relationships of the spiritual and the physical and bringing it together to his people, whether it's a church or also Israel, a combination of both. I'm just reminded, Nate, of that wonderful blessing in the future of the marriage supper of the Lamb mentioned to us in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, and also the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, in terms of the bridegroom and the celebration, if you will, of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And these are all festivities, wonderful things that we can look forward to.
Yeah, let me quick read Revelation 19 because I want to make a point there. It says, "Then he said to me," this is John, "write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." Now, what's fascinating about this is that there will be, when we get raptured up to heaven, a great celebration. The Lord compares it to a wedding reception where the bride of Christ, the church, in other words, if you're saved, you're part of the bride of Christ, will celebrate the reunion that we have with our Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. And some people say, well, is that in heaven during the tribulation or afterwards in the millennial kingdom? And I have believed and still do believe that this is something that happens during the tribulation, but up in heaven for the church. But I was interviewing a Dr. Randall Price recently, and he had made a good point. He says there are many verses that point to the fact that when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom and rescues and restores the Jewish people, he will have another celebration, which now again, I'm sorry, I don't have the verses handy at the moment, but there is another wedding supper type that will be held at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, where God celebrates the restoration of the Jewish people. So there's actually two great banquets coming up in our future when the Lord returns.
Nathan, and either or, we just want to participate in those. We're invited, man, so we're going to eat there.
Yes, Christians are very good at eating, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the heavenly food is like.
Well, Nathan, but also we do need to be prepared because we know that the Lord is coming soon. In the parable of the 10 virgins, the foolish and the wise, it calls us to be ready, right, Nate? I think so many people are sleeping. They don't take this serious. They don't see how this applies to them. But we do because we know that the Lord wants individuals to be with him in heaven. But we also have to play a part. We want to make sure that we're right with the Lord.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. 10 virgins, 5 were ready. In other words, they kept their lamps lit. In other words, they were saved, is what the Lord's saying. The others weren't. They weren't ready. They didn't prepare. They didn't get their heart right for the Lord's return by becoming saved. And so when the Lord came to get his bride and the virgins would be her bridesmaids and follow him, only 5 were ready and they got to be part of the wedding banquet, but the 5 were left behind because they never accepted Christ as Savior. And so it's a wonderful story where the Lord's showing that only by salvation through Jesus Christ do we then inherit all the blessings the Lord talks about, and that includes the rapture of the church, the wedding supper of the Lamb, the judgment of the just, where we get our eternal rewards to rule and reign with Jesus in his millennial kingdom. All those are only for what the Bible calls overcomers, those who are saved.
Praise the Lord. And Nate, talking about salvation, these next few passages in Isaiah chapter 62, we see that in these passages as part of God's plan. I was going to pick it up, Nathan, in verses 7 through 9, and maybe you could do 10 through 12 as we close out the passage.
Sounds good.
But I'll pick it up on 6 because 6 is kind of like tied with 7 again in Isaiah 62, where it says, I have set a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes and he until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give you grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine, for which you have labored. For those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy course.
Pick it up in
Courts.
verse 10. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the people. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken.
And Nathan, I love that. Again, we find that not forsaken. It's almost like a reminder of God's plan being full in effect for God's people and the wonderful future that awaits them.
Absolutely, yes. And again, this has been a horrible blight on the church for the past 2,000 years, teaching that God has washed his hands of the Jewish people, ignoring all these passages that prophesy their redemption and their future. The Apostle Paul in Romans 9, 10, and 11 makes a strong case for the fact that the Jewish people may have been temporarily set aside for their disbelief, but a remnant will be grafted back on, a remnant that believes. One of the great prophecies in the Bible found in Matthew is that when Jesus returns, the Jewish people who are besieged by the Antichrist will look upon him to weep, they will mourn and wail, and they'll cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. In other words, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Lord says he's not returning till he hears the Jewish people finally cry out to him. And so that is the return of Christ. There will be a remnant, and that remnant will be a priestly people in the millennial kingdom. And you know what, brother? There are so many people today, guys like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and others who are just becoming so anti-Semitic. I think it's because they're young in their faith. They haven't really read these prophecies. They don't have a premillennial literal interpretation of the Bible to realize that, yes, the Lord has a great future in store for the Jewish people. And so we, in our day, should support the Jewish people, not always politically. It's a fallen country, just like every other fallen nation in the world, but for the redemptive work that the Lord is doing in those people to bring that remnant to salvation.
Nathan, and that's what astonishes me sometimes, people that call themselves believers. And it makes me wonder, what Bible are people reading? Because I mean, it's like, look at verse 7 of Isaiah 62. It says, and give him no rest till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. I mean, how much clearer is that that God's plan is in full effect for the nation of Israel? Not only that, but it tells you so many other things, like we spoke here. His coming, the reason why he's coming, salvation is coming. So we're so thankful for Jesus Christ, the Messiah, for his plan, including us in the big picture.
Absolutely. Folks, you got to realize that during the millennial kingdom, Jesus promised that he will return to Jerusalem. Jerusalem will become the new capital of the world. It might even be elevated. There's going to be numerous earthquakes, especially two major ones during the tribulation, that will just change the landscape of the entire world. And it would appear that Jerusalem will be lifted up higher than all the other cities. And it says here about, clean the highway, building the highway. There's lots of prophecies in the Bible that talk about how once Jerusalem is lifted up and the Lord returns and he builds his king, his capital and his temple in Jerusalem, that they will go out and straighten the roads and build the highways so that all the nations can go up and see Jesus, and the Jewish people will be the ones who will get the full promise of the land restored to them, and they will guide the Gentile nations, those born during the millennial kingdom, up to see Jesus and fellowship with him. Brother, it's going to be unlike anything that we have today.
Oh, Nathan, and it's so exciting. I mean, all through prophecy, Zechariah also spoke of the Lord's coming, and so many others. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey. And this was prophecies over 2,000 years ago, but that have been fulfilled. And now the future prophecies will also be fulfilled about the coming of the Lord and also his wonderful plan that is in store for us. That's why verse 10 of Isaiah 62, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up. I love that, Nathan, like you just said, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift the banner for the people. And we knew that as part of the Romans road, if you will, before the king will come, they will go and they fix the roads and make sure that there was nothing in the way for anyone to stumble. And when the Lord comes, right, Nate? I think the roads is already paved.
Amen. There are passages that say that this highway that will go stretch from Egypt, and the Bible says Assyria, because at that time Assyria, but Iraq, it will go, and it's called the King's Highway. And so the people are gonna they're gonna rebuild this road. And brother, I don't know, man. Under here in Texas, it seems like every other road is under construction. They're all expansion. But I gotta wonder, if all the nations stream up to see Jesus, day after day, how many lanes do you think this highway is gonna have?
Oh, Nathan, I know there's one in China that has like 50 or 100 lanes.
Oh my word! It would have to be that big.
Nothing compared to what the Lord has in store.
Yeah, you don't want it to be on a reconstruction project all the time. I don't see that changing. It'd be years before they add a few more lanes. Maybe, they'll get it right the first time. 50, 100 lanes. Seriously. Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. I saw a picture of that and it was just incredible, you know?
I'm gonna have to look that up.
Yeah, but Nate, speaking of roads, you know, God has a wonderful plan for individuals. He has paved the way, smoothed out the rough, sinful things, so people can just come to the Lord. And we know there's two roads out there. It's a narrow and a broad, right, Nate? We're talking about China. They have the broad road. Everybody's going through it. But the Lord speaks about the narrow road, the few find it. And there's people right now, Nate, that are tuned into this program, and they seem to be on that narrow road. All they have to do now is to enter in through the gates with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Nate, how would you encourage someone that maybe is listening, they're ready to come in, how they can start the relationship?
Well, for one, I got to commend you on your analogy, man. That was wonderful. Great segue. Well, folks, there is a road to heaven, but it's not the broad way, it's the narrow way. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. So only through faith and trust in Jesus Christ can you be saved, your sins forgiven. As John 3:36 says, the wrath of God no longer abides on you. You have that relationship restored with the Lord, and then you can inherit eternal life with him. And what you do is you have to put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. There's no works involved. Jesus did the only work that matters, the work of dying on the cross, taking your punishment onto himself, and then beating death by resurrecting from the dead. So reach out to him in faith and repentance. Pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I've rebelled against you. Please forgive me. I love you, Lord, and I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. And Jesus will save you. He will give you his Holy Spirit. He will erase and cleanse that guilt from you, and you will walk down that road straight to his arms in heaven.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Nate, for sharing that wonderful salvation opportunity. And maybe that's you and you grabbed hold of that opportunity and came to know Christ wherever you are. Know that there's a celebration in heaven for you. And we are also thankful for you starting that relationship with the Lord. Make sure you reach out to us. Write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. Call or text 305-992-9537. We would love to rejoice and pray with you. And again, we just thank the Lord for these opportunities, these programs to be able to encourage you. We would love to hear back from you in the future if these programs are blessing you as well. Nathan and I would appreciate that. Of course, we've run out of time for this segment of the program, but we thank you for being part of today's program. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful week.
Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have